Hello and welcome to the Engaging People Powering Companies podcast.
Welcome to the Engaging People Powering Companies podcast with your host, Amrit Sander. Now, for those of you who've got a keen ear, you will have heard me with a slightly different intro there. I didn't say welcome to the Engagement Coach podcast. There's a reason for that. Some of you may have seen it, but if you haven't, the Engagement Coach has evolved. So we have now rebranded to And Evolve. And any social media posts you see from us now, anything to do with us on the digital footprint, will now demonstrate the And Evolve branding. And thank you for those of you who have given us some great feedback. And we think this represents much more of who we are and what we're focused on, helping individuals, teams, leaders, managers, organizations, and cultures evolve. So hence the rebranding. Anyway, I digress. Let's focus on what I want to talk about today with you. Today, I want to talk to you about something controversial. It was based on last week's speech by Suella Braverman on illegal immigration. And she made the speech out in America. And many of you will have seen the headlines and the uproar that this caused. Now, I instantly read the headlines and reacted and thought, what? How is it possible that somebody, whatever your political persuasion, that somebody so senior in our government would make a speech like that? So I decided to bypass the headlines and go to the source. So I went to the text of what she had said. And the bit that really stuck in my throat continues to stick in my throat. And the whole phrase that she used that really aggravated me was, uncontrolled immigration, inadequate integration, and a misguided dogma of multiculturalism have proven a toxic combination for Europe over the last few decades. So this is a list. She's citing uncontrolled immigration, inadequate integration, and a misguided dogma of multiculturalism proving a toxic combination. And she goes on to cite Angela Merkel, a speech she made back in 2010, where she said, or she acknowledged apparently, that multiculturalism had utterly failed. Now, I don't know how much of that speech was taken out of context, but to use that as evidence or an argument for this misguided, as she calls it, dogma of multiculturalism, I thought was utterly shocking. And I take this view from a perspective of all those organizations out there that have got DE&I initiatives, programs, where they're working so hard to create a more diverse, equal, inclusive environment where people feel that they belong. What does this speech do to all those initiatives? Why bother if multiculturalism has utterly failed? Because what she's doing here is conflating, I believe, two separate issues: illegal immigration and multiculturalism. There are plenty of people in the UK that are integrated really well, and we are seeing the benefits of multiculturalism, whether it's through food, through celebrations, through greater understanding each other. And organizations have gone a long way to make that happen. Now, for those organizations out there who are focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion and creating a sense of belonging, rather than throwing this out the window, because I believe she's wrong completely, my own personal experiences, despite having grown up experiencing racism, I believe the UK is an amazing example of multiculturalism that's gone right, where people have integrated and learnt from each other. The whole point of making our organisations more diverse is to drive greater innovation, better products and services that really meet the demands of society as a whole, whatever society looks like. And there's been plenty of examples out there where initiatives or products or services were carried out by a particular group of people, and they didn't work in society because they were only focused on that particular group of people. Well, we know how diverse humanity is. If organizations really want to make the best of their products and services, they've got to apply to everyone. And what better way to do that than to bring in the voices of everyone to make sure we are diverse in our thinking and we help people create a sense of belonging when there are no organizations. Now, DE&I initiatives aren't without their challenges. There was an online study done by WebMD Health Services, and this was in America. They sampled 2,000 adults working for organizations with a population of over 2,500 employees. And what they found was nearly half the employees cited a lack of accountability for the reasons why these DE&I initiatives weren't working. And when I say they aren't working, 62% of those people surveyed said that these programs weren't effective. And nearly half of the people surveyed said these programs had failed them personally. So this was a failure of the program. Now, when you start to look into the detail, 64% of those surveyed said they would have benefited if their company was truly committed to their DE&I program. They would have benefited personally. Feeling a sense of belonging was the biggest concern. 57% of people said belonging, where they felt valued and that they mattered, needed improving. And when you go on to the detail, there's much more in there that tells us that our programs haven't fully worked. Now, I do want to take a step back and just link this back to Suella Braverman's argument, the misguided dogma of multiculturalism. It still hurts, actually, when I say that phrase. It's like, how can someone say that? For organizations, every organization out there, or for many organizations out there, have got a very strong purpose and a mission. And generally, missions and purpose statements are about doing greater good to the society. Other than to make money, it's the value organizations add to society. Well, I want to argue, what greater value could an organization add than to help make a more cohesive and harmonious society? Well, how could you do that? Well, look at these initiatives. DE&I initiatives. The reason why a lot of these are failing and cited by WebMD research was down to a lack of accountability through leaders. The lack of accountability by leaders was the reason why these programs weren't fully being embedded. 89% of people said their organization had these programs in place, but 62% of respondents didn't believe their company was doing enough. They weren't truly committed. This raises the question then, is it that these programs have failed because we're not meant to work? Multiculturalism isn't meant to work. Or is it because we haven't made them work? You know, going back to this report, half of people personally experienced situations inconsistent with the culture that was being cited in the DE&I work. A third of people don't always feel that they belong. One fifth of people felt disconnected or unfairly excluded. One fifth of people said they felt they were treated differently based on what they looked like. 65% of LGBT employees said that employees could do a better job. 2 in 3 black people responded that companies need to do a better job around equity. And Asians were more likely to believe their company was ineffective in fostering a culture of belonging. So there's a lot of scope here, a lot of stats in there. So if organizations truly were committed, we should see a difference or an impact in society. We should be able to create a more harmonious society. I came across a quote by Alphabet CEO Sundar Pichai, and he said, a diverse mix of voices across an organization leads to better discussions, decisions, and outcomes for everyone. We know across organizations the power of diversity and inclusion. And yet, there's still scope about implementing these properly. So what can organizations do? Well, firstly, we've got to have measures. We've got to put in place measures to show the impact we're making, to show the progress we're making. And look, there is no benchmark out there that we can tie ourselves to say, compared to the benchmark, how are we doing? This is about internally. Where do we want to be and how are we going to get there? Let's measure it. Measure where we are and let's just quantify our success. But the other thing is identifying issues and addressing them, taking action. It's a bit like employee engagement surveys. There's nothing worse than hearing from people, understanding the issues and doing nothing about it. Taking action is critical. Now, going back to hearing people, we've got to be able to create a safe space for people to share and learn from each other. The psychological safety. I've seen some fantastic examples of where organizations have really just focusing on culture, but done a lot to help understand each other's culture. I remember when I was growing up, I know some people hate Eurovision. I loved Eurovision. I still love Eurovision. It has changed. I think it's become much more homogenous. But back in the old days, I used to love when countries used to sing in their native tongue. I used to love when performers would show up in their native costumes. I was curious to understand more about their culture. And I think organizations, there's a lot of organizations out there doing that. Food is the obvious. We tend to focus around food from different cultures. And I think what we need to do is help people understand much more, but creating that safe space for people to share, to ask questions. I remember when I converted to being a full Sikh, I used to be short haired, clean shaven, working in the pharmacy. And I then decided to grow my beard, grow my hair, wear a turban. And I had my patients coming in saying, am I allowed to ask you questions? And I said, of course, ask. How would you know if you didn't ask? And they asked some fundamental questions they just wanted to know the answers to, but it helped them understand me better. So create a space for sharing. And this is where we become curious about each other's culture. And then finally, and the most important that came out from the WebMD research, is we've got to have leaders who are accountable. You can't be sponsoring a DE&I initiative by just passively attending meetings. This is about being accountable. How are you going to help create a more harmonious and cohesive society? And that's ultimately what we're looking at here. The ultimate success is that. Now, if organizations out there are saying it's not our job to be creating a more harmonious and cohesive society, then rip up your statements, your purpose statements, your mission statements, because that's what they're honed in on. They're all about creating a better society. Other than to make profit, why do we exist? It's the same principle. So this is all spurred off the back of the Suella Braverman speech about the misguided dogma of multiculturalism. And this research that was cited in Forbes from back in February 2023 by WebMD Health Services, with over 2,000 employees across America, organizations of over 2,500 people. Ways in which these initiatives seem to be ticking boxes, but not really making a difference to the people who want them to succeed. People are asking for this, they want it, but they're not happening. So, I just want to, for the record, say multiculturalism hasn't failed. I see examples, amazing examples of it every day. I think people have embraced it, and I think the UK is a shining success of it. And what we need to do is make sure our organizations, when we're looking at these diversity, inclusion, equity, and belonging programs, truly make them come to life with a view that imagine what our societies would be like when we succeed. So look, that's all from me today. I wanted to pick up this controversial topic as a result of last week. Please join me again next time for more thoughts on leadership development, culture development, employee engagement, employee experiences, and everything else in between. Amrit Sander from And Evolve. I shall see you soon. Take care.
The Engaging People, Powering Companies podcast by And Evolve.